everything, all the goodness of you that you give so freely to us, Lord, as our inheritance. Thank you, Lord, for blessing your people. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we hear this message today, including myself, Lord, that we get inspired and filled with your goodness, Lord, and your presence as we celebrate Thanksgiving with our friends and our family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the forefathers of this nation, they made it a special day to thank God for blessing them and bringing them into a new land rich with material provision. So a little bit of background. In history, it tells us that the pilgrims came to this new land and they were ignorant on which crops to grow. They endured a very bitter first winter of illness, and some were even starving. But through the kindness of the natives that were already here, they taught them how to grow the food. They also established unity with another local tribe that God provided. After their first successful harvest, Governor William Bradford organized a celebration and invited the natives to join them. For 3 days, they devoted themselves to feasting, prayer, and gratitude to the Lord who had provided for them all. Listen, I heard a little bit of history on it on YouTube the other day. And they probably endured a lot of hardships on the ships that even came over here. And as soon as they got to land, they just bowed immediately and gave thanks to the Lord. They were so grateful that they got to this land. The celebration continued each year, and in 1863, President Lincoln established Thanksgiving as a national holiday. Usually, the holiday involved a fast and a prayer, followed by a grand feast in celebration of the harvest and in thanks to the abundant blessings provided by God. Unfortunately, over the years, the holiday became less godly-centered and more secular, with a focus on turkey, parades, and football games. That's how I remember Thanksgiving. Huh? Easton Peabody games. Well, I grew up and my father was a fanatic football. Oh, my goodness. Thanksgiving had TVs, 3 TVs in one room with it blasting. That's how we ate our Thanksgiving. So he was thanking God on who his team was going to win, okay? So anyway, that's a little thing about me that I don't like. So for us Christians, Thanksgiving also reminds us to thank God for bringing us into the kingdom of God and all the spiritual provisions that he provided for us. Now let's look at Colossians 1, 12 through 14. That's probably why I don't like football. He damaged my brain. But that's okay, Dad. I forgave you. I'm sorry. It's Colossians chapter 1, 12 through 14. There's nothing wrong with football. I just don't like it. That's all. I know a lot of people love it, and that's fine, you know. Okay, it says, your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. Hallelujah. Whew, that's a lot of shouting right there. So as we've been learning about our salvation and the power of the cross and all what Jesus paid for, it brings us into a heart full of gratitude and thanksgiving to him. It is beyond words to express. God can only feel it in our hearts, and the love in our hearts should express it in our everyday union with the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and should be also expressed in our everyday walk in love with other people. Amen. When we gather together at the Thanksgiving table with the family and friends and being surrounded by all those delicious traditional foods that we love to eat, like roasted turkey, mashed potatoes, pumpkin and sweet potato pies, and all the trimmings. Yum. Now that I'm making you hungry, let's remember to thank him for all the bounty and the goodness that he brings to our lives every day. When we come and enjoy a feast of to celebrate the goodness of God, I get reminded of the marriage feast of the Lamb, that one day we will all be celebrating with him in the future, and how amazing that day will be. Imagine all of us all together celebrating, and imagine all the foods, and we'll be shouting and screaming, and the love will be everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Thanksgiving ties in with our faith in God and the acknowledgments of the many blessings God bestows on us. And it also brings us into a place of unity and gratitude. The original concept of Thanksgiving was spiritual. The Bible concept of Thanksgiving refers to us to giving of thanks, including confession of the Word of God, hymns, praise, and other offerings to express our gratefulness. For example, Psalm 107:1, it says to us, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And then down in verse 22, it tells us to sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. Let's look at those verses about giving thanks in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5, and it's getting warm up here, guys. 5, 16 through 18. Ooh, it's hot up here. Wow. I could feel it just... Okay. It says, I'm reading out of the Passion. It says, "Let joy be your continual feast," which means be joyous in every season. "Make your life a prayer, and in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus." Wow. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Sorry. "Let joy be your continual feast," meaning be joyous in every season. "Make your life a prayer, and in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus." So all day long, we should just be thanking him. Throughout the day, we should always look to God first. The Lord God is the source of all things to life and all that sustains us. God is at the root of everything we experience. When good things happen, they happen because God provided for our needs. When bad things happen, God is turning it all around for good for us. In Psalms, David always proclaims, there's a lot of Psalms that David writes about giving thanks. He says, "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wondrous deeds." And I think we even sang that this morning. We should focus on gratitude and thanksgiving to God, even when times are difficult and we experience trials. Sometimes it's very hard to do this. But in Psalm 136:1, it reminds us again to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And in James 1:17, it reminds us, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The Lord never changes. Even when we are in difficulty, let's train our minds to notice the good things and be appreciative. Remember to cast down all the evil imaginations, fear, worry, and focus on the goodness of God. Express your gratitude out loud. Thank you, God, that you are working all things out. Even when we're going through those difficult places, just remember, God, I thank you. You're going to work all things out on my behalf. And I know everything's going to work out just fine. Amen. Here are some examples of people expressing gratitude to the Lord. In Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 19, I won't turn there. It describes the Israelites' first Thanksgiving in the Promised Land, the land flowing with milk and honey, and how grateful they were to the Lord as they got there. The prophet Jonah gave thanks to the Lord in the belly of a whale after he realized he couldn't escape from God's commands. I'm going to look that one up. It's Jonah chapter 2, 8 through 9. Because Jonah chapter 2, 8 through 9. The reason I would like to look at that is because he was in the pit, right? If I could find where that is. Where's Jonah? Okay, Jeremiah. Nobody has a page number. I should have marked it. Hold on a minute. I know, I did. Maybe it's for a reason it's slow, okay? Okay, let me read the story. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Thou didst hear my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All thy breakers and billows passed over me. Just kind of get a picture. He's in this belly of a fish, and all this stuff is coming at him. So I said, I have been expelled from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward the holy temple. Water encompassed me to the very soul. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. So all that seaweed was all over them. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But thou hast brought me up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to thee for the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land. Sometimes you just feel like you're in the pit, right? Okay, the Apostle Paul gave thanks to God in the middle of a storm just before the shipwreck in Acts 27:35. He broke bread with the people and he gave thanks. He took the time out to do that. During the Last Supper, Jesus thanked God three times for the bread and the wine, which represented his body sacrificially broken and his blood spilled out for us all. Luke 22:15-20. Let's look at that one. Luke 22:15-20. Okay, 15. I'll start in 14. When Jesus arrived at the upper room, he took his place at the table along with the apostles. Then he told them, "I have longed with passion and desire to eat this Passover lamb with you before I endure my sufferings. I promise you that the next time we eat this, we will be together in the banquet of God's kingdom realm." Then he raised a cup and gave thanks to God and said to them, "Take this and pass it on to one another and drink. I promise you that the next time we drink this wine, we will be together in the feast of God's kingdom realm." Then he lifted up a loaf. After praying a prayer of thanksgiving to God, he gave each of his apostles a piece of bread, saying, "This loaf is my body, which is now being offered to you. Always eat it to remember me." After supper was over, he lifted the cup again and said, "This cup is my blood of the new covenant I make with you, and it will be poured out soon for all of you." Hallelujah. Even Jesus thanked the Lord. He had a thankful heart to his Father. These examples help us to understand how good and right it is to express to the Lord for taking care of us, even in the midst of hardships. God loves to hear our praises and worship to him in song and music. The Bible tells us over and over again how much God loves to hear singing and making melody. Psalm 7:17 says, "Sing praises of the name of the Lord Most High." I'm going to read that to you. Psalm 7:17. It says, "But I will give all my thanks to you, Lord, for you make everything right in the end. I will sing my highest praise to the God of the Most High." And of the highest place, it says. Hallelujah. So David knew how important it was to thank the Lord and to sing unto him. Psalm 100:1-3 urges us to shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:15 tells us to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess his name. Now let's read Colossians 3:16. The fruit of our lips. Let me start in, 15. Let me start in 12. "You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness to all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable," hear that, "unoffendable, in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the anointed one who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with the psalms and with the festive praises and with the prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your hearts. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and bring your constant praise to God, the Father, because of what Christ has done for you. Hallelujah. That is a big instruction right there. And it also, as we pray, we should always thank him that he hears us and he always answers our prayer requests. Let's turn to Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. It says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable, admirable, beautiful, and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Follow the example of all that we have imparted to you, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. Hallelujah. Giving thanks through prayer is so important. Prayer is intended to be a conversation with God. And it says in there, he wants to know. Talk to him. Talk to him about what's going on. As we are praying, we are to have an understanding of God's goodness and always express our gratitude. Thanking God helps to remember all the answered prayer, all the blessings that we received, all the healings, the provisions, and all that was given to us so freely because he loves us. Thanking him in prayer before the answer even comes is an act of faith. Amen? Okay, so let's turn to Matthew 22. And it started with Jesus was asked a question. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. It starts off, teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is like it in importance. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. Contained within these commandments to love you will find all the meaning of the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. Loving others is a way of loving God. We cannot do anything to earn God's love, but we can show our appreciation by loving others, like the Good Samaritan cared for the wounded stranger in Luke 10, 25 to 27, if you want to turn there. Jesus gave an example. Because the question, it's pretty much the same scripture, but it got a little deeper with the question that we just read. Chapter 10. It says, just then a religious scholar stood before Jesus in order to test his doctrines. He posed this question, teacher, what requirement must I fulfill if I want to live forever in heaven? Jesus replied, what does Moses teach us? What do you read in the law? The religious scholar answered, it states you must love the Lord God with all your heart, all your passion, all your energy, and in your every thought. And you must love your neighbor as well as you love yourself. Excuse me. Jesus said, that is correct. Now go and do exactly that, and you will live. Wanting to justify himself, he questioned Jesus further, saying, what do you mean by my neighbor? Jesus replied, listen, and I will tell you. There was once a Jewish man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho when bandits robbed him along the way. They beat him severely, stripped him naked, and left him half dead. Soon, a Jewish priest walking down the same road came upon the wounded man. Seeing him from a distance, the priest crossed to the other side of the road and walked right past him, not turning to help him one bit. Later, a religious man, a Levite, came walking down the same road and likewise crossed to the other side to pass by the wounded man without stopping to help him either. Finally, another man, a Samaritan, came upon the bleeding man and was moved with tender compassion for him. He stooped down and gave him first aid, pouring olive oil on his wounds, disinfecting them with wine, and bandaging them to stop the bleeding. Lifting him up, he placed him on his own donkey and brought him to an inn. Then he took him from his donkey and carried him to a room for the night. The next morning, he took his own money from his wallet and gave it to the innkeeper with these words, take care of him until I come back from my journey. If it costs more than this, I will repay you when I return. So now, tell me, this is Jesus saying to the man, so now, tell me which one of these three men who saw the wounded man proved to be the true neighbor. The religious scholar responded, the one who demonstrated kindness and mercy. Jesus said, you must go and do the same as he. Hallelujah. The Samaritans were not well accepted in the Jewish community. And it was the Samaritan that took care of the stranger. So when we meditate on the blessings, God, which he has given us, we overflow with gratitude and love towards others. When the blessings just start to overflow in us, it just starts to just come out normally. In Ephesians 4:32, it urges us to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave us. And honoring our parents, if they're still living, is just as important. It says in Exodus 20:12, God commands us to honor our father and our mother so that we may live long in the land the Lord our God gave to us. So we are to be thankful every day for the goodness that God gives us. But as we gather together around this table on Thanksgiving Day with our family and friends, just like it says, keep Christ in Christmas, let's keep Christ in our Thanksgiving, including all the food, the festivities, even the football games. Amen? Well, I'm going to pray for you guys. I want you to have a blessed and awesome day with your family and friends with peace. Peace, right? A lot of peace. Hallelujah. So let me lift up our prayer up to the Lord for you Father, I thank you and praise you. I thank you for the cross of Jesus. I thank you again with gratitude in our hearts on how much you loved us, that you paid the price for us. And Lord, we thank you from the top of our head to the very soles of our feet. You restored us. You restored our health. You restored our prosperity. You restored our rule and reign here on earth. And Lord, as we gather together this Thursday with our family and friends, Lord, we just ask that we would put you first, that we would lift you up, because it is a day of thanksgiving and to honor you as we love each other and we love each our family and friends as we gather together. So, Lord, I ask for protection over everyone. If you're traveling, Lord, I thank you and praise you that it's going to be a glorious, wonderful, awesome, blessed day. In Jesus' name, amen. And a lot of open doors and opportunity to share the Lord. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. So today, Jim says there's some items in the back that you can take. Right? Okay. So as Jim goes back there, you could follow him back there if you like. And if you like to stay in fellowship a while in the foyer, we have coffee and whatever else they put out. God bless you all. Have an awesome, wonderful week. The storm's around.